This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
So Bezos is now third, Todd? He's third. Right. I mean, no offense, but in that club, third's not bad.
Right. True.
I mean, he's third in worth.
I'd be happy to be 110th.
Okay. Like, they have 14 of them. I'd take 14th. What the heck? He's third. Oh, my goodness. All right. This half hour being brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory with great warranties. Fabulous pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. They go over every vehicle, makes the buying experience exponentially more comfortable and easier. And a great service department that backs it up every step of the way. Routine, difficult, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Somebody else that wouldn't mind being in the top 14 of those with over 100 million is Neil Coolong. Sir, welcome.
Yeah, I'm looking up at that one for sure. It's great to be here, though, and that's good enough for me today.
Yeah, the same here. It's great to have you here. It's good enough for all of us as well. Okay, so now the dust has settled a bit here. Now it's time to start concentrating on the NFL draft part of it. So based on free agency, did anything change your mind as to how they attack free agency that would change your mind about how you felt they should draft from a month ago?
No, but with a caveat, I think they really... The two moves, and I think this is what everybody would sort of telegraph, and it's not a bad thing necessarily, but the need for another productive receiver, in other words, one that can get on the field right away and play, is even more glaring now, especially in wake of news that contract talks allegedly between the Steelers and Tyler Boyd have broken down. It lumped that into free agency, and it's even more apparent now they're going to need another receiver. Deontay Johnson, for all of his flaws, is a 140-plus target-a-year guy. You can't just make that up with a couple deep-threat receivers. No offense that's currently running and successful in the NFL anyway. We'll see how they play that, but probably the biggest for me was they've been on kind of a kick of wanting to find veteran centers. They kicked the tires on a lot of veteran centers and ended up not signing any of them. Whether that was by choice or something not working out the way that they had wanted to, that need is still there. Now, do they feel the players who were there in the draft are going to be able to step in and play right away? It's a question. It's a fair one for Steelers fans to be kind of apprehensive about, considering they tried that a couple years ago, drafted a guard, played him at center. He was among the worst centers in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And it went on to a different team and turned out to be one of the best guards in the NFL. So it's a wonder how they intend to evaluate the position. I think they did well with the Mason Cole deal when they had initially signed it. Cole played pretty well the first year he was in Pittsburgh. I think he just kind of broke down at the end, wasn't as effective of a player as he was in the past. Clearly time to find somebody else. They've parted ways with Cole. I don't think he's re-signed anywhere else. I'd be surprised if he does anytime soon. They're going to need that that middle captain type of position they usually have on their offensive line. They pride themselves in finding those players. It's high time that they get another one. The thing with centers, I mean, you don't see too many of them drafted, and the highest one that gets drafted usually has the expectation of becoming one of the better ones in the game. So is there one available this year where they could get one who would be able to step in and have that type of impact? I think they're in that spot. Most would say in this particular class are the guys that they have, are the top centers in this class worthy of number 20 overall. I'm not sure you could say that all that definitively, but at the same time, I believe firmly if you have a need, you know that you want this guy, you need to take him. So it wouldn't surprise me if that's the direction that they go in, but you never know. Really, value is important. There are obviously other needs on this team, a lot of different areas they need to get better at, but I would imagine one of their first two picks is going to be on a center. And if they, I think anyway, if they have to make moves or can make moves to facilitate that, they definitely should. It simply has to be a priority, and they have to get a guy that can come in and start from day one.
Yeah, and something tells me Zach Frazier down there at West Virginia has got to be somewhere near on that list. And, you know, I know he's a name you and I brought up a couple of weeks ago when talking about him, that he might be a possibility that they look at. When you look at the other teams in the division, did they improve themselves in any way where even no matter what the Steelers did, the Steelers did not improve their lot because the other guys improved?
That's a good question. It is interesting. I don't think the division has really done a whole lot as far as making a big leap forward, but I also think that they're four pretty competitive teams. If anything, I think the storyline is Baltimore, like usual, lost a lot of players. They will draft the equivalent or better of those players with the comp picks that they'll get in 2 years, like they usually do, and they'll be back on top again, even if they have a down year this year. The strategy works out well for them. They bet heavily on themselves to draft well, especially in the middle rounds. That's really been the root of their success. I would expect that they'll do the same thing again. Maybe they are a little bit lesser of a team than they were last season, just on paper right now. I wouldn't bet against them in any way, though. And in Cincinnati, I think the biggest addition they get this offseason is a franchise quarterback. You put Joe Burrow on that team for 17 games last season, I'm going to, you know, go on a limb here and think that they're probably they're finishing a little bit better than they did. So Cincinnati's a very good football team. Obviously, a step away from the Super Bowl. They should be very competitive in the AFC again. They're going to build depth. They're going to get better internally the way that they do. You would expect them to be a 10-plus win team again this season. And I don't think that Cleveland has been far off. And I've gone on record on this show many times saying how good Cleveland is going to be and have that turn out not to be the case necessarily. So I don't want to put myself out there again. But for the sixth year in a row, they have all the elements in place to be able to win football games, and they should have a starting quarterback not named Joe Flacco who should be able to, you know, kind of earn the paycheck that he's getting and play some decent football. We haven't seen a whole lot of that from Deshaun Watson at this point, but this is really make or break for him. I would hope he took his offseason seriously, can stay healthy and be able to get out and contribute to what should be, again, one of the better rosters in football. Now, we'll see how all that comes to pass. Another year goes by, injuries mount up. It's tough to stay highly competitive in the NFL. I think, once again, this is going to be the best division in the game. I think all of them probably held serve the way that they would have needed to, with Pittsburgh probably making the biggest moves to get better from what we've seen to this point. And a lot of that is that, you know, they overhauled their quarterback room. They might have a quarterback that can compete at kind of the same level as the top two in the division. And if we ever get anything out of Watson, again, you're looking at the best division overall in the game.
All right. Exactly. In the NFC, let's take one team NFC, one team AFC. Which team in the NFC may have improved themselves the most in the free agency portion of it, and which team in the AFC may have improved themselves the most in the free agency portion?
Oh, that's putting me on the spot for sure.
It's going to take some thought to go through, because you're probably trying to run through teams as to what they did, right?
Yeah, I'm matching everybody up. Easy. And you typically don't want to just say best guys went to this team. It's a match, you know. It's what a team needed to have. I like what the Jets did. They added their offensive line. That has to be a big thing. I mean, all the numerous problems that the Jets have had over the years, they're getting that quarterback again this year, and we're assuming he's going to make it more than four plays this year. you develop more depth at the tackle spot. That they've tried everything they could possibly think of to have a cohesive and working offensive line. It just simply hasn't worked. I would like to point out that in the four snaps that Rodgers took, he was pressured on two of them, including the one that he got injured on. So clearly that was a priority for them, but it's otherwise a very good football team. You definitely see a lot of the components that you would see with a high-level championship type of team. If they get run out of Aaron Rodgers, which is, I think, the biggest question this offseason, same way it was last year, you expect to see a team that can compete in a division that's pretty good at the top, and they should be able to throw punches in a very competitive AFC. I'd also point out Houston. I think there were a good ground game away from having one of the most diverse mm-hmm. offenses in the NFL, and they're just getting started. That's the thing. I think Mixon brings a lot to them and what they're trying to do overall in offenses. They probably add more to C.J. Stroud, add more dimension overall to their game. They get Tank back. They'll be able to probably do a bit more than they had, and they're not going to be the upstart team anymore. So for them, the additions of, like, Danielle Hunter, you're getting a lot out of them defensively already with what they have, the development of Will Anderson. There are a lot of things to like with Houston. I think their offseason probably complemented their needs better than anybody else. That's a dangerous team, again, in what really seems like the AFC's got most of the talent now. I don't think we've seen it or felt it at least be as unbalanced as it seems to be going into this draft.
Let me ask you about Snead moving over to Tennessee. How highly I think of Brett Veach. But I found that to be, and I know money comes into play, so I've got it, but it seemed like a curious move with a guy I think is a terrific player at a position that you need.
Yeah, you know, it kind of seems like maybe there's something there we don't know about. I'm not suggesting anything criminal or anything like that.
Right.
Maybe there's an injury issue. You know, we don't hear about those kinds of things. The one it makes me think of, former Steeler but drafted by the Jaguars, Miles Jack. Now, you saw Miles Jack at UCLA. I mean, mm-hmm. you saw a physical specimen. I mean, that guy was unreal, just an incredible athlete. He got hurt, and in that, what they discovered as part of the injury, it was a degenerative condition, and he wasn't going to be the elite level athlete that you saw in his film for probably a good chunk of his career. Now, you're not necessarily drafting guys in the cliched, you know, plug him in, he's your starter for the next 10 years. It doesn't really work like that, especially if you know that a guy's knee, with the wear and tear that he's going to take playing in the NFL, is going to bring out more of that injury. If he stays healthy, he's just, you know, the knee is not going to work the way that it's working when you see him run when he's 22. It dropped him all the way down to the second round, and he was easily top 10 level talent. And he had an all right career. You know, you saw the athleticism and the explosion for a bit early on. He even got an extension out of it, but toward the end, it was obvious that he's surviving more on instinct than anything else. Maybe Kansas City knows something about Snead. I mean, I don't want to act as if
right.
passing along inside information, but I agree with you. He's a great player, and he really didn't sign like a monster contract. You know, definitely a very good one up there in the market. He only got $1 million more than Jalen Johnson got with Chicago. I might have put Snead a little bit higher than that in terms of value. If that's all the more that they had to pay when he's on the franchise tag in Kansas City, is having a tough time signing him to an extension of their own. It makes you wonder why they didn't. You know, I understand everyone talks about the salary cap position with Kansas City all the time. I'm not sure it's that bad that you couldn't sign a rising superstar level player mm-hmm. at a marquee position. Now, right. You might say maybe their interpretation is they got him in the fourth round. They can find him again. For me, the cornerbacks, I wouldn't want to gamble like that. Yeah. But I can see why some teams do it, because at the end of the day, there are only so many good ones, and there are a lot that are going to be available in free agency for far less cost than what the top ones are going to make. So if that's their strategy, okay. I mean, I can see what they're trying to do, but they put more and more on Patrick Mahomes every year, and I get that they keep winning Super Bowls, but that's a tough gamble. It's a tough gamble for a defense that unfortunately did not get nearly as much recognition for the job that they just did in the playoffs and the regular season. They won that Super Bowl. Mahomes was good, like he always mm-hmm. is, but he was it. That's really all they had. Their mm-hmm. defense made stop after stop, play after play. They have rings because of their defense this year, and to dent into that, even with paying Chris Jones, which may have been, you know, ultimately the problem, how much cash they have to give out for Snead. Maybe they just couldn't handle that. But that's a tough hit to take, especially when you already committed, what, 17, 18 to the tag for him. You would have paid less upfront this season to have locked him in.
Yeah, no, and I just found it to be interesting, found it to be curious. Also interesting and curious was the move of Reddick from the Eagles to the Jets. What was your thought on that one?
My knee-jerk reaction was rent the player.
Yeah.
When you get into situations, it's funny that it's the Jets and Roseman making that deal, because Roseman loves to rent a player, you know. It's funny to see the gate swing that way, but I think the Jets are in a situation where you don't know how well this is moving. There are, you know, reports going out that unfortunately NFL employees have to apologize for later on, that the general manager, the head coach, and the owner are yelling at each other outside of a league function, a league event. Maybe tensions are getting high. They've made exactly nothing on the Aaron Rodgers deal. This was funny that I just saw right before you guys called. In fact, Aaron Rodgers made $81.14 through the performance-based pay system. That's the money that he earned by playing four snaps this season. His regular contract is worth far more than that, but because he didn't play, he was given this extra money. Point is, it's a financial quagmire in New York. They have all kinds of expectations tied into this. You can see the pressure there, and I think maybe they're just saying, look, we have the dudes here. We have guys that can play. I don't know how many draft picks we need. This is one spot we need filled by a guy that can definitely fill what we're doing. Go get him. Let's just take him. We'll spend a little bit more money. We don't get this draft pick, but that's fine because we've got this guy. Maybe he's somebody that we can sign long-term beyond this season, because that's really what it is with Reddick. It's an extension situation. Maybe they want to commit to him. Maybe they're just going to make him play it out. But he's a guy who's going to fill a big need for a team that is going to be explosive as far as defending the pass goes. And when you're playing Miami, when you're playing Buffalo, you could see why they would want to get a player like that. And Philadelphia, I think, wants to, not to use the R word, rebuild everything, but they're going to want some more draft capital, because they chased after, you know, the rent of players in trying to get to the championship, and things didn't really work out for them last year. In fact, whatever it is that happened to them last year is still beyond description in my mind. Trying to bring in some new guys and sort of reset, reacclimate, the veterans along with the younger guys that they have to the direction they want to go in makes sense. So I can see it, but I don't think it's so much the Eagles wanting to get rid of him as much as it is we can get over value for him, because this team has a specific need to get this player, and we wouldn't see him until the Super Bowl, even if we did.
Right. Interesting, as always. Neil, right? As far as we're concerned, it was a $100 million performance.
You bet. I'm telling my accountant, you guys can just forward that on over, and we'll see you in Miami.
Yeah, and our accountant, who works, by the way, for the accounting firm Dewey Cheatham and Howe, you're gonna love working with him.
Fantastic! Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Neil. Neil Coolong. I'm sorry, the Dewey Cheatham and Howe joke to me never gets old. I'm sorry, it just doesn't. Especially when you associate it with the suit.
You should have t-shirts made.
Ooh, you are. Boy, you're a thinker. I love it. No, that's really, you are. That's getting it done, man. I love it.
I always tell my wife I'm the idea man. I don't have to implement it. Implement any of them, though.
Oh. Look, I'm not into execution.
Nope.
But when it comes to me, a lot of people are in favor of it.
Yeah. Been there.
Oh, goodness gracious. All right. We'll come back more in a moment. This half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And great to be with you. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket, Imports, Domestics, Microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. It's time to stock up for the weekend. I know we just had a holiday weekend, but man, you got the women's Final Four starting Friday, the men's Final Four on Saturday. A lot of fun. Stock up. Then next weekend's the blue-white game. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day in the pickle bar. Led by the barrels and the dills, indeed. Second to none, my favorites. At Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right. Great to have you with us. Todd's alongside, as always, getting the job done. What is the next big story you're working on, by the way, my friend?
Actually, this rain's kind of putting a damper on things.
Yeah, I bet it is. I mean, it has been pouring here. I assume the same thing there.
Yeah. I was actually surprised. They squeezed some stuff in yesterday, but the next 2 days, I think, are going to be a wash.
Oof.
I'm actually concentrating. I just had to finish off my previews for local softball and working on the all-daily item team for basketball this weekend.
Oh, okay. Great. I mean, because I was hoping to get out and maybe play a little golf this week, but there is no way in heck that's happening. based on this, because I mean, I might be able to get out next week. This weekend I'm in Florida, and you're like, oh yeah, I'm not going to have much time to do it. I land, get to hotel, I have to be there at 5:30, speak, you know, dinner, speak. Then the next day up, got to go down from Jacksonville to Daytona to luncheon. So I got to be there by 11:30. You know, so in other words, there's no time to go, hey, let's go play golf. No, I don't, that's not going to happen. It'll be nice to be out in the warm weather, I'll tell you that. Now, on the eclipse on Monday, are you doing anything?
Not, what time is it? I think I'll probably be in here, won't I?
When it starts, you'll be in here. I think it starts here at
2:30. Yeah.
But it goes for a little bit. Now, we're not 100%, but we're 95% here. Let's just look here for a second. Eclipse. Okay, State College, PA. Now, I'll just put State College. All right. I know. I realize it'll be less for you. Let's see what it says here. So, upcoming. Okay, solar eclipse. Here it starts at 2:04, so during the show, but it ends at 4:32. The maximum part here is going to be at 3:20, and it's 95% here. Now, obviously, where you are will not be like that. But, yeah, so it starts, what did I say? It starts at 2:04 and it ends at 4:32.
I guess I should buy some glasses then, huh?
You could, sure.
I'm not going to stare straight into it, I know that. That's gotten to me.
Yeah, I think that's a really smart move on your part. All right. I realize that the I'm not going to get into what the suit's going to do. He thinks he's invincible.
That's how some superhero stories start. Maybe one of us will get superpowers.
Don't tell him that. Okay, the reason you don't tell him that, because then he'll do something dumb. I don't want him doing something dumb and then getting hurt.
I was going to say, I'll send you the video if he does.
Oh, brutal. Brutal. So there'll be a little bit of light showing here. Okay. A little bit. So, you know, it starts out at 2:04. They actually have an animation for this. The moon's going to move its way up from the southeast, moving toward the northwest. And all of a sudden, boom, it's going to get dark and hang dark for a while, and then, boom, it'll just go away. Yeah, more sun and gone. Oh, kind of a cool animation, to be honest with you.
Hopefully the weather is okay.
I think it is. I think it is. So it comes in. And cover, and then boom. And at that point, like, we have a little bit of the sun showing, and then done. At 3:20 is when it's like, all right, we got it. Okay, now I believe it's 95% here. So, partial solar eclipse. What is a partial solar eclipse? Well, we all know what a partial one is, but like, I think with this, it's like 95%.
I think there's some parts of the country that's totally 100.
Oh, no, I know that. Oh, yeah. No. Rochester's one of them. Rochester, New York, Western Pennsylvania. It's like, wow. And here in State College, right, the next total solar eclipse is October 26th, 2144. So it's 120 years and 207 days. Just a gut feeling, probably going to miss it.
If you don't, it means you probably have some robotic parts by then.
At that point, oh my goodness, look what's happened. I can't believe it. I made it. All right. So there you go. That's...
That would be your 180th year broadcasting Penn State basketball, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I'm up. We're just, you end up fooling around on, you know, when you've got a lot of time on the road. And we've had a lot of time on the road. So Dick's like, how many games has Penn State had? How many have you done? We figured out that currently I'm at 45% of the games in the history of the program. Ooh, that's a couple games. 45% of them. Yeah.
That reminds me, did you see Calvin Booth's son is in the transfer portal?
I did. Yeah, I did. I'm not sure what that means here.
I just thought it was a little surprising since they all followed Micah out there.
Yeah. I watched a little bit. Of a couple of Notre Dame games, and you could see he was like still trying to feel his way through the process. About all right. Yeah, I just want to check the percentage. It's almost 96% here. 96%, they say. It's a lot. It's pretty good. I mean, it's not full, total, whatever, but 96%, that works.
Be weird to see all the streetlights at 3:30 in the afternoon.
Of course, you have... Like I told my class, they have a project due on Monday, and I told them straight out, I said, look, I know there are some people that view something like this and think the world is coming to an end. I said, just in case it isn't, you need to have your project in on time Monday morning. I said, just in case. I cover my tracks.
Right. Well, technically, it's due before the end of the world.
That's exactly right. I said, and if you get it in on time, then you'll be fine. Because if it doesn't work out, perfect. Let's see. Rory McIlroy on PGA Tour Live split unsustainable. He is so right about that. It's not sustainable. And I think I said to Jerry Dulac when I had Jerry on, I said, if golf ever needed the Masters more than ever, the time was now for the sport. Because you're going to have the top champions there, including Rahm.
Jeez, that's next week too, isn't it?
The what?
The Masters is next week too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's next week,
nah,
right?
Geez.
The blue white game and the Masters, same weekend, and that's going to be if they needed it more than ever. And then there was a passing in sports. A guy by the name of Larry Lucchino. He was part of the ownership group of the Red Sox with Tom Werner and John Henry. He had suffered from cancer. But if you want to put a stamp on a guy that, yes, the Red Sox won three of their four World Series titles with him there in 4, 7, and 13. He was not part of the ownership group in 18. But he had a smaller financial stake at that point. But he is the one that spearheaded the ballparks in the majors. He was the guy that was behind Oriole Park at Camden Yards. He was the guy behind Petco Field in San Diego. And he was the guy behind what they've done at Fenway Park. When the John Henry ownership group came in, they were already talking about building a new Fenway Park next to the old one and keeping up the left field wall as a museum or whatever. And they asked him, well, what do you want to do about this? Keep moving forward with this? And he looked out at the old ballpark and he said, you do not touch the Mona Lisa. That was his quote. You do not touch the Mona Lisa. So they put up seats over the left field wall. They did a lot of things to it. But, you know, you look at Camden Yards, which I think is just a gem beyond words, because he was the president and CEO of the Orioles from 89 to 93. He was the one behind getting Camden Yards built. San Diego, 95 to 2001. Now, they built Petco after he left, but he had already done all the groundwork for it. And then, of course, what they did at Fenway Park. 78 years old. And people have been telling stories about him that if you walked around the park and you ran into him, he gave you all the time of the world. Right? If somebody told the story about he had his little girl there, it was a rain delay, he's walking around, he recognizes Larry Lucchino, he goes over, starts talking to him. Lucchino took the father and the daughter over to this area. And he opened the door and it was a closet all filled with memorabilia. And he said, what do you think you'd like here? He says, pick a couple things. Right? Like that's what you're hoping. That's what you're hoping, that people own your ball club or have an ownership stake in your club, how they act towards you. You hope they would act like that. And that's, those are great, great stories about him. Three previous cancer scares. He was also the chairman of the Jimmy Fund, which is the charitable arm of the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. And yes, a Pittsburgh guy who, by the way, played for the New York Knicks. He was on the same team with Bill Bradley. And he has a Final Four watch, okay, from when Princeton went to the Final Four in 65 with Bill Bradley. And not only does he have the four World Series rings, he also has a Super Bowl ring, because at one point he worked for Washington and was with them in 1983 when Joe Gibbs and that group won the Super Bowl. Quite a life. Hate to see it end at 78. Hate to see it end by the dreaded C word, cancer. Wow.
I knew of him and related in baseball. I'm not sure I realized he played with Bill Bradley in Princeton.
Yeah. Yep. Terrific. Phillies and Reds. I mean, are they going to play this game tonight?
Probably as of now, but I doubt it.
Yeah.
Though I haven't heard from my brother today. I don't know if they're getting the same amount of rain in Philly as they're getting up here.
They may not. Right. The Reds are 3-1. The Phillies are 1-3. Brutal.
I can't say anything. The Phillies are still better than the Mets right now.
The Mets are 0-4.
Yeah, I know.
Not good.
No.
Not good. Wow. Okay. Wrap it up in a moment. This half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn what they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
All right, final half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up now. Big weekend coming up, big weekend after that as well. So I'm looking at, decided to read a couple of articles about the USC basketball search. It's obviously they're going to be in the Big Ten next year. So the first article I read is, it doesn't hurt to ask. The first three names were Jay Wright, John Calipari, and Brian Dutcher. Like, Jay's not going to coach. He got out for a reason. Okay? John Calipari, all right. Like, suddenly he just wants to get out of Kentucky. Okay. Right? Brian Dutcher's now 64. I mean, sure, he may want to move up the coast and, you know, try the Big Ten because, you know, his dad coached in the Big Ten. But no, it may, like, that's the first article I read. Like, really? Those are the first three names? It didn't make a lot of sense.
Is it only because Red Auerbach is dead?
Could be. Phil Jackson doesn't want it. I mean, this has like a Nico Medved deal written all over the Colorado State coach. He's a good coach. I mean, Penn State played them last year down in Charleston. And that's a good coach, and he got him into the NCAAs this year.
I saw somebody might throw some money at Eric Musselman at Arkansas, too.
Eric Musselman, I saw Arkansas play last year against Kansas. You know, he turns over his roster a lot. I mean, he doesn't really stabilize his roster, but he does bring in a lot of athletes. That Arkansas team I watched last year against Kansas was as athletic a team as I've seen. I mean, I'm talking, they were a high wire act at all five positions. They struggled this year. They beat Duke early in the season, if you recall, but they could never follow it up this year. After that Duke game, which they won down in Fayetteville, they just could not get it going. Now, remember, too, USC has great resources. But don't discount what Arkansas has, because guess which company has its headquarters in the state of Arkansas? Walmart. The Walton family. And guess where they play? At Bud Walton Arena. Now, they've already had a decommitment. They had a point guard, Trent Perry, McDonald's All-American. And with Andy Enfield leaving, he wants to reopen his recruitment. He says he may still go to USC, but after the Andy Enfield left, he wants to open it up again. So, always interesting times.